right. Good to see you this morning. Glad to have you in the service with us. Looking forward to what the Lord has in store. Just a couple of announcements before we get started. Right after the morning service, we're going to have a VBS meeting just real quick. It's just more or less to try to ballpark a date. So all those that are interested in being a part of VBS, if you will, let's kind of meet over here in this corner real quick. Like I said, probably 5 minutes. And we're just kind of trying to nail down a date. You say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be in VBS or not. Well, if you're even considering the aspect of being in VBS, come over here, because we don't want anybody to say, well, I got this planned or I had this planned. We're going to try to set a date or a ballpark of a date for the amount of time that most people will be available. So if you will, all those interested in being a part of VBS, meet over in the corner right after the service, all right? Other thing, couple things in the bulletin. Definitely remember all those. And then next Sunday night will be our fellowship down in the fellowship building. Looking forward to a good time there. I think that one might not be in the bulletin, so I'll mention it as well. So do mark your calendar for that next Sunday night. Also in the foyer, I mentioned as well that we've got a couple of areas that we're looking at trying to help out. One is a homeless shelter, so there's some sheets in the back that has some needs listed for the Pickens Homeless Shelter. So if you're interested in picking up any of those items, definitely do that. We're going to try to make a delivery sometime this week, so try to have those here by Wednesday night if possible, and we'll make that delivery. Now, if you bring stuff after that, we'll still try to get it to them for sure. But if you will, there is some of those in the back, and I ain't sure how many. I'll check when I after opening, and if they need more copies, I'll put back there. But like I said, if you want to help in any way, the opportunity is there. All right. And with that being said, Brother Gerald, why don't you open us in a word of prayer this morning? Amen.
As we start our service this morning, let's sing about Jesus. How Jesus keeping us singing. Let's go. We can say, He keeps me singing. Let's stand. Let's sing. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know.
One other announcement I didn't make, but I will. So this morning, Children's Church will dismiss right after the offering. Missed a few weeks of trying to get things caught up there. So Children's Church will be dismissing before the special music this morning. So that'll happen right after the offering. So I just wanted to make mention of that so it won't be too big of a surprise. I know how we are Baptists are, right? It ain't the way we always do it. So I just want to give you plenty of heads up so that you know it's coming, all right? By way of prayer requests, let me mention a few of those. Good to have our visitors with us this morning, by the way. Let me welcome you to the service and make sure, church, you let them know that you're happy that they chose to worship with us this morning. But good to have you with us. By way of prayer requests, let me mention a few that was mentioned this morning. Definitely continue to remember all those that are on the prayer list that's in the back as well. Make sure you get one of those and pray over those. But just mention a few. Do continue to remember Pat and Earl. Pray the Lord continue to touch and help there in the midst of that situation. Also, Mike Hendricks, if you will, remember him. He's got another surgery coming up, so if you will, just keep him in your prayers. Karen Buckner, continue to remember her as well. Judy Looper. Judy's been sick for quite some time, so if you will, definitely remember her. She had to go into the hospital Tuesday night it was, and so they've done several things on her. She's got congestive heart failure. They were able to finally successfully do a cath on her Friday. They had tried several days, but her blood pressure was so low they weren't able to. So they were able to finally go in Friday and do what was needed to be done. And so she is improving. And so just pray for her and pray the Lord to strengthen her and get her back on her feet again. Also continue to remember Dwayne Green. Just pray for him as he's been diagnosed with cancer. Also, Jimmy Patton, we've mentioned him as well. Be praying there as the doctors give the doctors wisdom concerning his path forward as well. And then also, if you will, remember the Beckham family. Scott Beckham passed away. He leaves behind some pretty young children as well. So if you will, remember that family as you pray. Pat Sexton, this is my brother's mother-in-law. If you will remember that family, she passed away yesterday. So if you will remember them in the coming days as well. If you will continue to remember my wife, Cindy. Pray the Lord touch and help there. She's got vasculitis and several things going on there with that. And she's been having a lot of issues out of her joints. So if you will, definitely remember her as you pray. And just pray the Lord touch and help and heal there in the midst of that. Also, if you will, still a lot of people sick, dealing with everything from COVID to the flu. Kurt Greer, Gerald's friend, definitely continue to remember him. And I know there's others that are still a part of this church that's dealing with it, and family members of this church as well. So definitely continue to remember all of them as they battle all the issues that's going around with all this sickness. And then also, if you will, Cheryl Herman, if you will remember her. She came by earlier, but she can just barely walk. She's having issues with a sciatic nerve. So if you will, definitely remember her as you pray as well. All right. Other outspoken before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes, ma'am. All right, doctor. And his last name? Roverson. All right. All right. So if you will remember that. Dr. Roverson. Yes, ma'am. All right. Let's remember that. Others? Yes, ma'am. All right, so let's remember that. The Harris family. Young girl run away. So remember that. Adrian?
I spoke to Daniel, Jasmine's father. He said she got COVID, but she got over it really quick. He's sick now, and he has needed just prayer for all of their going through. But he said she's up in her spirits.
Amen.
I don't know that there's much change.
Got you. All right. So let's remember that. Others? Other outspoken. Definitely continue to remember our church and continue to remember our country as well. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful, God, as we bow in your presence. Lord, we're so thankful that, Lord, we call upon the God who is able to meet each and every need, holds all the answers, and, Lord, able to accomplish all the tasks that you want to accomplish. Lord, we're thankful that, God, in the midst of a world that's full of chaos, Lord, we can truly say with confidence, your will be done. And, God, we trust in that this morning, and we also trust in the fact that, Lord, as we make our petitions known, Lord, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we should ask or even think. And, Lord, as we made many mentions of individuals going through different battles and different physical ailments, Lord, we thankful to know that you are the great physician, that, Lord, you're able to use doctors and treatments and medications, and, Lord, you're able to just heal with just a touch from you. And, God, we're thankful to know that, Lord, you're able. And, Lord, we place these needs before you. We think of these individuals going through cancer and battling that battle, and just ask that, God, you just help and strengthen and encourage them in their journey. Give the doctors wisdom. And, Lord, I pray, may the treatments do what's needed there. And then, Lord, when we think of the many others that are faced with different trials and different physical ailments, and, Lord, we just ask that, Lord, in the midst of each one of them, that, God, you just make your power and your presence known, Lord, as they go through these times of struggles. We think of those that are battling the sickness that's going around through the community, and just ask that, God, you'd touch and help and put a hedge of protection about the community, Lord, and I pray, may you drive this out and heal this area of all the flu and COVID and RSV that's going around. We think of these families, Lord, that are going through time of bereavement, especially the family that's dealing with the younger kids, and I just pray, Lord, you'd give grace in the midst of that situation, and Lord, I pray you'd give comfort as they go forward from here. Lord, in each one of those that's dealing with a lost loved one, we realize, Lord, that there's a vacuum there. But, God, we know you're able to fill that with your presence, and we just ask that you would do that. Lord, we're thankful for this church, God, and all the many blessings upon it. Lord, we're thankful that we're able to gather in a place, Lord, that has heat and comforts it. Lord, just allow us, Lord, to worship without stress or care of those things of outside elements. And, Lord, we praise you for even that. And, God, we just ask that, Lord, as we meet together here, that, God, we'd meet together with our focus and our mind upon you. God, help us to worship you this morning. Bind those things that would hinder and take away the things that would distract. And for the next little while, Lord, may we just look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And, Lord, may we truly worship you this morning. Be with our country, Lord, I pray. Save the leaders that don't know you as their Savior. And, Lord, I pray you'd give those that do the wisdom to act and govern as you would will. And, Lord, for all those things, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and we'll sing our offertory hymn. Praise Him, praise Him. Let us stand. Holy name. Children's Church. All the children. I know this is early, guys, so. So. Been thinking about one song. Well, thinking about one song that I was going to do that God put on my heart, but then God changed my mind yesterday and Friday. Started putting these two songs we're going to, that the congregation is going to sing with me, putting these songs in my heart. And then after our men's meeting yesterday, He really reaffirmed what these two songs we're going to sing. He really reaffirmed them. So the first song we're going to sing today is "It Is Well with My Soul," and I know that's some of our men's group. That's one of their favorite songs. And I know Rusty keeps looking at me like I know it's Rusty's favorite song. So we're going to sing that. And one of the reasons that this really stood out to me after our men's meeting is that, you know, God created everything. God created it all. And it's supposed to be. And because of that, it should be well with our soul. So we're going to sing "It Is Well with Our Soul."
Like sea billows roll.
thou beside. Yours. I don't want to do another song. It's yours. That was just too sweet. I don't know if I can sing another one.
The most powerful rendition I've ever heard. Cindy reminded me as we were singing. Was a young couple that our ministries had crossed paths many years ago. And they lost their baby. He was 1 year old, wasn't he? Right at 1 year old. And I never will forget that dad preaching his 1 year old son's funeral. But at the end of it, he led everyone under the tent. And it is well with my soul. And his statement was, the baby can't ever come to me, but I have a hope I'm going to go to him one day. Because of that, it's well with my soul. Boy, I'm thankful. It's well with my soul this morning. Turn, if you will, this morning to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm only going to read just a few verses this morning, but I'm going to give you an overview of verses 8 through 17, or really, 8 through on down through the end of the chapter, pretty much, at least through verse 23. But I want to call your attention to three verses that's found here in verse 15. We'll read the text, 15, 16, and 17. Then I'll pray, and I feel like what God's got in my heart, you've got to catch the big picture. So the introduction may be a little longer than normal this morning. But look with me in verse 15. We pick up on the life of Elisha. Elisha, the one who came after Elijah. Elijah is also most often known as the prophet. Elisha, not as remembered as much or as Elijah, but Elisha had prayed that he'd have a double anointing. And truthfully, Elisha had done more for God and truly seen more miracles than Elijah did. But often we think of Elijah over Elisha. But here we are in the story, and we pick up the story in verse 15. And like I said, we'll give an overview after I pray. But notice it says in verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Let's pray. Father, We're thankful, Lord, as we come into this place. And Lord, we're thankful for breezes of heaven like we just experienced. A presence, God, that is unmistakably you. As we lift your name up with excitement, Lord, and anticipation, we can echo the words of that song and say, even so, it is well with my soul. Lord, we anticipate the day that our faith will end in sight. Boy, I look forward to that. As a church, we're hungering after that. But until then, we must be about our Father's work. And this morning, Lord, I pray as we endeavor to try to see your truth from the pages that are before us, I'm asking for your touch, your help, your guidance. Take what's in my heart, Lord, and place it upon my lips, and I pray, Lord, you'd help me this morning to truly preach my heart. We don't need an outline. We don't need just another sermon. We need to hear from you this morning. And God, I'm asking you, take me out of the way and use me as an instrument. Speak to that heart that needs to hear from you. And for that, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the passage before us, we've preached from chapter 6 before. I love the first part of chapter 6. It's where the young men decide it's time to go to Bible college. Basically, they had outgrew where they were at. It's also where we find the young man that had lost his axe in the river. I preached from that, I don't know, not very long ago. But the story of Elisha then unfolds to where we're at now. The Bible college, the school of the prophets, has been erected. And of course, it's just like normal. When God's doing something, you can rest assured the devil's going to do something, right? So the devil begins to make war again with Israel by using the Syrian army. And so the Syrian army would go in and they would try to attack Israel. But the problem was every time that they tried to do a sneak attack, somehow or another Israel was made aware of it. And they would get this plan together. They would call in all the captains and they'd say, okay, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And they would go to attempt to do it and Israel would be sitting there waiting on them. And finally, the leader of Syria said, okay, there's a traitor among us. One of us amongst us, the leaders here, is traitor. They're going and telling everything we're going to do. And one of them spoke up and said, no, sir. There's not a traitor among us. There's a man of God down there in Israel that God is telling him your plans before you execute them. And he's letting Israel know before we even march out of the city, they already got the heads up we're coming. And so he says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go down and we're going to bring that man of God back to us and we're going to stop that from happening. That's where the story picks up in the verses I read. But the story don't end with the verses I read. You go right from that, after the servant's eyes are open and he sees the angels and all the host around. Elisha then, as the armies come down to arrest Elisha, you might say, Elisha prays again. And he prays that blindness falls over all the Syrian army. And they did. And Elisha walks out to the Syrian army and he says, hey, fellas, y'all in the wrong place. This ain't where the guy you're looking for. This is y'all totally messed up. Here, I'll take you. So Elisha leads the whole Syrian army right into the heart of the city of Israel. And he says, here they are. And then he prays, God, open their eyes. And here they are, surrounded by the enemy, unprepared. That event brings peace to the land. Here's the amazing thing. A national miracle was performed. God did an amazing thing. And what really has always intrigued me about this passage is the servant's eyes being opened to see what was around meant nothing to God's overall goal. The story. Elisha is surrounded. The servant sees the armies surrounding him and says, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha says, "Don't worry about it. Greater is he that's with us than he that's with them." And he could have left from that point on and walked straight out and prayed blindness over all the enemy and let them down, and the story would not have changed a bit. The interesting thing is God did something special for one servant. Ain't that the kind of God that we serve? In the midst of accomplishing a great big wheel, God can do something special for a little old me or a little old you. And that's what you have in this scripture. It's amazing when you look at it from that standpoint and you make it personal. Because that's exactly what it did. The servant's name is never mentioned. We never see where he goes on and does anything else. But can I tell you, I believe that what this passage shows us is two things. Number one, it would do us all good to realize that God is working even when we can't see Him. Amen? And there's a second element to this that I think it would do us all good to see. Elisha took the time to show the next generation what he was seeing that they couldn't see. You hear what I'm telling you? Elisha knew God had it. But he took the extra time to take the young man and say, "Let me show you what God's doing that you can't see." You want to know where the church lost it? It's when we quit reaching back to show the next generation what God's doing in this generation. See, you remember the Old Testament? God told the children of Israel over and over again, "You tell them. You speak it in their ears. You recite to them all that God has done for this generation." And then he would tell the next generation, "Don't forget, tell the next generation all the things that God has done." Church, can I tell you, your children and your grandchildren need to know all that God has done for you, because the same God that done it for you is wanting to do it for them too. So we've got to keep passing on the mantle. And that's kind of what you see in this passage. So I want to spend just a few minutes showing you two things here. Number one, the servant's empowerment. As you think about it and you look at the passage, it's obvious that he's got a problem. And it's obvious that God wants us to see that he had a problem. And when we begin to analyze his empowerment and his problem, we begin to consider exactly what his problem really is. Some would say the problem rests in the fact that he has a surrounding invasion going on in his life. Verse 15 told us that they were a host was compassed about the city. So basically, they didn't come to the front door. They surrounded the whole house. So some would look at that and say that the servant's biggest problem was that he had an enemy that was against him. But can I tell you that I have no doubt that that is a problem. But I don't think that that was his greatest one, because that's a problem that the human race has always had. We're always going to be surrounded by an enemy. As I said, you look back in verse 8 and notice the first word there. It says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel." When was then? It was after a great revival of building the school of the prophets. It was after the axe head was restored, showing power returning back to the children of Israel. It was after all that then the enemy rose up. My point to you is we should not be surprised when the enemy is attacking. We should not be surprised and our life is full of problems. Job said our days are short and full of trouble. Is that not the way he said it? I think we all understand that we have an enemy that we're going to face. And we all are going to face it. If we're trying to do anything for God, then expect some opposition. Plain and simple. So I don't think the surrounding invasion is his biggest problem. Then you could also say maybe it was his supposed inability, because verse 15 goes on to show us truly where he's at. As he assesses the enemy and he looks at the multitude that's surrounding as this whole Syrian army has come out against one man, as he looks out there and he sees that, he realizes that, what am I going to do? What can we do? And he asked the question of Elisha. And he says, how shall we do? What in the world are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this? What are we going to do to bring deliverance? And from that one question there in verse 15, we see his impairment is surmised in the fact that he confessed his own inability to accomplish the task that's needed to defeat the enemy. Some would say that's a problem. When you don't have the capability to match up to the task at hand, then that incapability that you have becomes your greatest problem. But can I tell you that truthfully, when you and I measure ourselves against the enemies that's coming against us, that's not a problem when we see ourselves as too weak. That's truthfully an asset. When we realize we can't, it's at that very point that we can get a hold that God can. And when, as long as we're willing to fight the battle, as long as we think that we've got what it takes to overcome the enemy, I'm telling you that we'll never defeat the enemy. We'll never see victory when we're relying on ourselves. If you think about that, it shows throughout the Bible. You remember in several passages, I think of one, for instance, when Jesus came face to face with the enemy. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Most of us remember the story, right? And the devil comes and he takes and he begins to tempt the Son of God. And he takes him up on the mountain and he does all these things and takes him up on top of the temple and he tempts the Lord Jesus. If you'll notice how the Lord Jesus responded to that problem, if there was ever an individual that had the ability to overcome the enemy, we can all say that Jesus did. He was God in the flesh. If there was ever a person that could have cast the devil into hell at that very point in time, Jesus was that man. But do you realize that Jesus refrained from taking the matter into his own hands? And how did he defend or defeat him? He used the word. It is said. See, my point is even when Jesus had the power to defeat him, he still rested in his dependence upon that God's plan would ultimately defeat him. See, the danger is when you and I think we've got to solve our problem, then God can't get involved when our hands are all in it. God's wanting us to release it. He's wanting us to come to a place of realizing we don't have what it takes. We can't fix it. We can't take it. You think about your sin. I've been in ministry now for many years. And I've watched individuals that tried to clean up their life to make themselves a Christian. They've quit a habit or quit doing this or started doing this. And what they're doing is trying to reinvent themselves as somebody better than what they were. Can I tell you that there is no pulling yourself up by your bootstraps? Because thanks to Adam, your bootstraps are rotten. There is no turning over the leaf, because both sides of the leaf tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, to overcome the problems in your life is not when you can quit those things and come to God. It's when you come to God, He gives you the power to quit those things. It's when you come to Him and allow God to clean your life up. That's when the miracle can truly happen. We put the cart before the horse and we try to make ourselves presentable to God. You'll never be presentable to God. Your righteousness is as filthy rags before a holy God. And only through Jesus Christ can any of us find reconciliation with God. The servant found himself with supposed inability. But can I tell you that his greatest problem is seen in the fact that he can't see. The servant's life shows us that there was a spiritual inconsideration. He was like the children of Israel when they came to the river of Jordan. They sent 12 spies in. 12 spies come back. 10 spies said, the giants are huge. There's no way we can overcome them. 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, the giants are big, but God is bigger. But do you remember what the children of Israel did? They went with the 10 spies and said, the giants are too big. See, this servant, he had been learning of God under the ministry of Elisha. And that's what he was learning, was ministry. Because it's obvious in this text, he had not learned the message of who the man of Elisha's ministry was. There's no faith. There's no spiritual consideration. He looks at his problem, and his problem was bigger than him. And he instantly says, what are we going to do? Alas, is what our scripture says. Oh, no! Can I tell you, there's a lot of people, and maybe a few in this sanctuary, but I guarantee you there's a lot of people within driving distance of this church that's sitting at their house this morning saying, oh no, oh no. Their situation seems hopeless because all they can see is their problem. Their enemy seems overwhelming because all they see is the strength of the enemy. So the greatest problem that this servant had was the spiritual inconsideration in his life. He never factored in God in the midst of his problem. We can be real critical of him, but you and I do the same thing. When the bills in the month are bigger than the payments or the salary we make, we automatically, oh no. When there's a conflict in a relationship, automatically is, oh no. When things don't go as we think they ought to go and the enemy begins to raise up, we say, oh no. We often lose sight, as Peter did, stepped out of the boat. With eagerness, he was ready to walk to Jesus on the water. But then he took his eyes off Jesus and put his eyes on the storm, and what happened? He began to sing. You and I are no more spiritual giants than Peter. When we get our eyes off of God, we're automatically on a downward slide. But I don't only want you to see the servant's impairment. I want you to see the servant's insight. I'm going somewhere, so hang on, sit in the back seat until we get there. I want you to notice what made the servant, I believe the whole reason we find his story in these pages is because when he realized his impairment, he did the only thing he knew to do. Look at verse 15. And his servant said unto him, the last part, alas, my master, how shall we do? See, it's a subjected inquiry. Think of this servant. He gets up in the morning. He walks to the outside. He may be drinking a cup of coffee. You know, I'm sure they had coffee in Bible times. I mean, you know, had to. I mean, you had the Hebrews, right? So, you know, Hebrews. So they had to have coffee. He goes out. Pitcher. Turns up the coffee. And he sees it. At that moment in time, he's faced with a choice. What do you do? What do you do? The problem's bigger than me. I don't have the tools or the equipment or the ability to overcome the enemy. What do you do? Run to God. See, that's the picture you have here. He surrendered his will and subjected himself unto Elisha. Who was Elisha? Elisha is a prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is a man that was raised up by God to be God's very mouthpiece. So in other words, you know what Elisha is? He's a picture of the Word of God. So where did the servant go? The Word of God. He went to the Word of God to find his answer. Can I encourage you this morning? When you're faced with an enemy than you, let me tell you, you can run to the same thing that the servant run to. I'm glad to know that this morning I can be your pastor. I'll be more than happy to sit and talk with you, and I'll be more than happy to counsel you. And sometimes I'll even might get in the flesh and give you my advice. I figured Cindy would shout me down on that. And that may not help you at all. But ain't you glad that you don't have to go to a priest or a pastor to get a word from God, because all you've got to do is open up Genesis through Revelation and you too can hear from God? We don't have to sit in a booth. We don't have to confess ourselves to some man. No, I've got the Word of God right here in my hand. If I want to know what God thinks, I can find it. If I want to know what God says, I can find it. If I want to know God's solution, I can look it up. It's all right here. I've got the full revelation of God in my hand. What did the servant do when he didn't know what to do? He went to the Word. Where can you go this morning? To the Word. Where can the children upstairs go when they face problems? To the Word. Where can the young people that's sitting in the sanctuary go when they're overwhelmed with the enemy? The Word. I'm glad to tell you this morning that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. He's not going to change His mind. He's not got an eraser to take out a verse. It's all there for all of eternity, and God has settled it long ago. Here. The answers to all of life's problem. Elisha's servant goes to the Word. Not only do you see his subjected inquiry, but as you look at this, you see the sovereign involvement. Look at verse 16. Elisha's response to him, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." See, Elisha, and here again, I love to just roll scripture around in my head. And there's things that does. When I get to heaven, I got a lot of questions that I'm going to have to get answered. But who knows, maybe when I see Jesus it won't matter. But one of the things I want to know is, did Elisha really see the chariots of fire? Or did by faith he just know God had them there? It don't tell us that he saw them. But he prays to God to open the eyes to show his servant. But Elisha's already seen what God can do. Elisha walks by faith, not by sight. But Elisha already knew God's involved. But the servant didn't know that. But do you know what God taught that servant in these few verses? That before Syria ever left. See, the humor of that story is, is if you've got a man that's so in tune with God that he's given all your plans away to Israel so that they're prepared when you get there, what makes you think you're going to do a surprise attack to take that man out? See, that's how stupid the enemy really is, right? But you see old Elisha? The servant runs to him. Oh, no, master! Elisha's like, psh, got this. The sovereign involvement is God's working even when we can't see him. Before the Syrian army had ever left to go down to Dothan, God done had the angels in place to protect his servant. And the same is true for me and you. We're in the midst of a storm and our life is being torn apart and we don't understand it all. But can I give you a confident truth that somewhere in the shadows there standing is Jesus? He is always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me give you a few verses. Psalm 18:32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? Romans 8:36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Little John comes in 1 John and says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Can I remind you this morning that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're not going through this world alone. He's with you every step of the way. But here's the thrust of the message. My heart's been around seeing God more in 2024. I opened this year off by preaching the message, our eyes are upon thee. I preached last week on waiting for the Lord, watching for his appearing, hoping in the Lord. But here's the point of this message and why God put this on my heart. If you get nothing else of the message, you get this. The servant's insight came with a supernatural illustration. Think about it. Verse 17, you know what the most powerful words in that whole verse is? Some would say it's the angels. Some would say it's the chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. You know what the two most powerful words there is? The servant that didn't see, it says there in verse 17, he saw. He saw. God didn't have to do that. God allowed him to see. Here's my point. The servant could have done many things that day. Think about it. The army surrounded. They're here after Elisha. The servant could have just... You know how I know he could have just walked away? Because that's what a lot of people do in church when things get rough. They just walk away. You know the other thing he could have done? He could have grabbed a sword, run right out there in the midst of all that, and just started killing as many as he could kill. Never consulting Elisha. You know how I know he could have done that? That's what Peter did when Jesus got arrested and he took off Malchus's ear. Remember the story? Also, you know how I know he could do that? I've been in ministry long enough to see how a lot of people in church handle problems when they come. They do it in the flesh. And it only creates a whole lot more problems. But do you see what he did? He went to the Word of God. And when he went to the Word of God, God opened up the Word of God to allow him to see His obedience allowed him to see what he saw. Let me say it this way. If you're not willing to handle your problems God's way, you're the one missing out on what God's doing. Because here's the thing. God was going to lead the Syrian army into Israel and basically allow them to be captives so that he could release them and bring peace. The choice of the servant was totally on him, whether or not he got to see what God was doing. Let me make it practical to you. The best I know how. God's working in Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. I believe that. I've seen individuals grow spiritually. I've seen lives changed. God's working. You come in here on a Sunday morning, and it's totally your choice of whether or not you're willing to see what God's doing or not. But had God not opened the servant's eyes, he never got to see the glory of God going on around him. And the sad truth is, there's a lot of people in the church around the world that sits on pews across this country and around the world that never get to see what God's doing. They never get to see the spiritual side because they never take their problems to the Word, and allow God to open their eyes. They work it out on their own. They come up with a plan B rather than going to the author and the finisher of the plan and allowing him to see. I'll give you a personal example. Down through the years, things that I've saw God do. I've saw God in the midst of a concert and chaos in the middle of Atlanta. I've saw God stop me and call to my attention a young man sitting on the side of a curb. I went over, sat down beside him, and led him to the Lord on the sidewalk of Atlanta. He said, "Amen." He looked at me and he said, "I got a gun in my pocket. I was sitting here long enough to get the courage to pull it out and blow my brains out." 3 months later, that man reconciled with his wife and his whole family, joined the church. See, that's seeing the spiritual side. When's the last time you saw chariots of fire and angels? See, we spend our time focusing on the enemy on the hillside. When if we'll get in the Word, God can show us what He's doing in the unseen. I tell you that to tell you this. There's a world outside the walls of this church that's hurting. And this church does not have the ability to help them all. God does. God does. And until we get a grip on what God's doing, it'll only be then that He can empower us to do what we need to be doing. We don't need the flesh. That's what the Baptist Church has had for too many decades. And that's why you don't have a generation coming up behind most of us here. Because the flesh ain't going to do it. It's not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We got to have God. Head bowed, eyes closed. Philip, come around. When's the last time you saw God? When's the last time you saw God work on your behalf? Can you imagine? This servant, his eyes were open and he saw the miraculous. When's the last time you saw the miraculous? You may say, preacher, it was the night I accepted the Lord and he made me a new creature. And that was 55 years ago. Boy, you're the one missing out. God's doing something. And you have the privilege to be involved or not be involved. The choice is yours. Father, have your way in the invitation. Lord, I pray, give us a heart that will long and desire to see you. Open our eyes to the unseen, that we may accomplish the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And do your feet, singing as Philip comes around to lead us. The altar's open. If God has spoke to your heart and you have a need, make your way on up. Whatever it may be this morning, God's here. The altar's open. Be obedient.
Have thine own way.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Heart is still there in the midst of New York City. And so Jim kind of is that.